Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
We were talking about Dak yesterday. We've seen the latest on him.
I just saw that he passed up a contract to become the highest paid player in the history of the NFL, and somehow he thought that wasn't enough.
To be fair, according to Adam Schefter, they are in agreement. The question is the fifth year. He doesn't want a fifth year. That's why he's making these ridiculous demands for the last year of the contract. It's way too much money, and Schefter says it's probably going to come out to $35 a year, which...
That, to me, that's still too much. And we all know Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback and deserves the most money. But if he gets his deal done first, Deshaun is going to go to Bill O'Brien and say, I want to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And then what's Bill O'Brien going to say?
Well, if I'm Bill O'Brien, I say, I tell you what, when you win an MVP and a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, you get paid more than Patrick Mahomes.
No, all you've got to do is be good at practice. You already know this. What had Laremy Tunsil done to prove that he should be the highest paid left tackle in the league?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. Miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you miss. A little mix of sportsy and not sportsy, which is how we always do it. Fun stuff, and hopefully you've enjoyed it so far. We got a lot more fun stuff planned for you. So all available on podcastarena.com, and make sure you stick around after us for my guys Jason Braddock and Patrick Creighton. Did you see, I don't know if you've seen this, the Netflix documentary Adventures in Psychedelics?
I've not seen it.
It's called Have a Good Trip. Yeah, you should watch it. It's basically...
How long is it?
It's not that long. Maybe an hour. It's a bunch of famous people telling their stories of using mushrooms and acid and stuff like that.
And that's actually interesting to me. Some of my best stories came from doing psychedelics.
Well, see, it made me want to do them. It's only happened to me once where somebody actually slipped me one that I thought was an edible, and it turns out it was LSD. And it was not a great experience because I basically walked downstairs into the bedroom I'm in now, and I got on the bed, and I could move, but I was moving in slow motion, and I had to keep telling myself what my name was and what I did for a living so I wouldn't forget. It was okay. Just not a great experience.
That's pretty good.
But this has, I mean, like Ben Stiller talking about calling his dad while he was on acid. Anthony Bourdain, before he died, Carrie Fisher, Lewis Black, a bunch of people Sting, telling their stories about it. And it was fascinating. If you have a chance, check it out. It's not that long, but it's on Netflix, and it's just some of the stories. Sarah Silverman, your girl.
I'm pretty sure I've told the story before that when I lived in New Mexico, I went out on the reservation with some of my Native American buddies, Navajo buddies, and we went to like this. I guess it was sort of a it was some sort of a tribal thing, and we drank some peyote soup or tea or whatever. I mean, it tasted like soup kind of, but they called it a tea. And this was on a Friday night, and drove home and found out later that day it was Sunday, and all of Saturday just didn't happen for me. So it's, and yeah, there's good things and bad things about psychedelics. I'd also soiled myself that day because going to the restroom outside your pants isn't a priority apparently when you're high on peyote.
Well, there's a lot of stories like that, so I think you'd find it interesting. And what to a person they say, don't look in the mirror.
Okay.
Which now, if I do it again, I'm going to look in the mirror because you told me not to.
Yeah.
So.
Will you say Candyman 5 times?
Yeah, I'll never forget that because I couldn't fall asleep. But I'd close my eyes and I felt like my eyes were open. and I could see everything. And I just kept saying, your name is Fred Fowler. Your name is, because I was afraid I was going to forget who I was. And yeah, it was. So I would characterize it as a bad trip.
That doesn't seem that bad. I think a bad trip makes you feel like you're going to die.
Well, I was paranoid as hell. I mean, I really, I thought there were a couple times when I thought I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, so, that might be bad.
Then. And I was really pissed because a person told me it was an edible. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to have a nice chill high today. And, oh, wait, I gave you the wrong one. Really?
That's not a very good friend. Friend slash drug dealer.
He's not a friend anymore. I'll just say that.
I believe that psychedelics can be fun in moderation. Particularly, and this isn't for children. I don't think children should do drugs at all. I want to make that clear. Because
you should be at least 40 years old before you do drugs.
We're against drugs here. But if you do mushrooms once in your life, it's probably not the worst thing in the world, honestly. Maybe twice or more.
Yeah, I feel like as a creative, I really should try some of the stuff in the show based on what they were saying. And because almost all of them are artists or actors or things like that, or writers. And it's like, oh man, that might lead me somewhere, you know? You watch it and you're really tempted to do it. I don't think. But yeah, it's a fascinating documentary, and some of the stories are hilarious. It's like You and the Coyotes. There's all kinds of stuff like that. So
well, it's and I will say this: like, I'm surprised you haven't tried mushrooms, and. LSD, I mean, that's like, it's chemicals. It's scary. And chemical drugs can be kind of scary. And I'm a little scared of it. But mushrooms, it's like a natural organic high. And the great thing about mushrooms versus LSD is when you take LSD, you wake up the next day and you feel like you've been beaten with a baseball bat because it hurts your back, your body's sore. It's just not... It's not a good post-game experience, whereas mushrooms just kind of like, oh, whatever. I'm surprised you haven't delved into the mushroom world, at least once.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I am intrigued by it.
Okay. Well,
and
listen, I don't want to convince you because you know what? Go for it. You say you're the Keith Richards. So if you die, I'm not going to feel bad because you weren't afraid. You don't believe
me. No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything.
Okay.
And... You know, death's going to get me at some point, but it's going to be on the stupid freeways here. It's not going to be because of that. So, 832 says something that I take a little offense to. It says, understand calling it a job or a part-time job. Wouldn't call gambling investing unless you need a way to rationalize, which seems potentially dangerous. That's the kind of thing that Wall Street people say about gambling all the time. And I really find that offensive. The guys who do it for a living, it is an investment. It's not a rationalization. It's not dangerous. They make a living at it. And frankly, you know, people don't want to think of gambling that way because, oh, gambling's evil and bad and all this. Dude, the guys who do it right, who do it for a living, the guys like RJ, it is an investment. And there's no other way around it. And bleep you Wall Street people who keep trying to talk down to us. And I'm not saying you're one of those. But they're out there.
Sports betting. I don't think that like you can be a professional blackjack or roulette player.
No. Very specifically, we're talking about sports betting. Yeah. Sports betting and poker, for that matter.
Yeah. I'll give poker, too.
So, to me, horse racing's a lot harder. I mean, there'll be five races a year that I really seriously look at. Okay, I expect to win this. This is an investment in this. The rest of the time, I'm playing for fun. But there was a time where I did it specifically for a living, where, you know, several of us would have money and say, okay, we're putting this much into the pick six today because a pick six is over $300,000. So we're going to invest as a group $3,600 and, you know, here's our plan to hit it. And we'd have five or six different tickets. I mean, it was a well thought out procedure. And when we hit, we'd all get paid. So, you know, you can judge us however you want, but the guys who do it right, who do it for a living, it is an investment. There's no way around it.
Well, an investment of time. Like, you know, if you want to say, like, you know, randomly picking your favorite team and betting on them, is that might not be investing. But I've won betting college basketball four of the last five seasons because I spend a lot of time and put a lot of effort into knowing what I'm doing. I think it's absolutely an investment.
Well, and guys do that with the stock market, and you're going to tell me that's not a gamble?
It absolutely is. Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you wear a suit doesn't make you better than us. Sorry. Lamont says, I went weed-free for almost 6 years, decided to fire one up, and I thought I was going to die. My heart was beating fast, and that was some very low-quality stuff. Yeah, if you haven't smoked weed in a while, the first time back can be, you know, I've gotten where I've got a pretty high tolerance, but man, there have been a couple times, like the time that I used the edibles in Vegas when I had the munchies. That wasn't real smart. that didn't go well. But I can only think of maybe two bad experiences I've ever had with weed. So, and that's over probably 30 years of doing it.
Yeah, I've had some funny experiences with weed. Never, like, and some were at the time I didn't think they were the greatest, but never have I been like, oh my God, I'm never touching this stuff again.
I love it. You know, calm down. I was trying to go addiction discussion, not saying I'm against it. Addiction has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And, you know, if you're going to unintentionally denigrate what we do, which is what you're doing, by trying to dismiss it and say it's a justification for addiction. There is no one in this city who has talked more about how dangerous it is to get addicted to gambling. And, you know, not even AJ, because I've told you stories about people who've done it. I've told people, if you don't bet, don't start. Been very specific about that. That's a totally different discussion. And yeah, if you're going to denigrate what we do and try to put it off as an addiction, then yeah, I'm not going to calm down. I'm going to tell you you're bleeping stupid. If you want to have an addiction discussion, that's a totally different thing. And I'll stand by that. If you're not gambling now, don't start.
Addicted to putting money in the stock market?
Of course you can.
Especially now because they've got these websites where you can, like, you free trades and you can just move stuff around all day. And, oh, I lost this much money today, but I'm getting it back tomorrow. I mean, it's, yeah, you could absolutely do that.
Well, and that's the thing. No, I've told the story about how I had a friend who used to cash tickets at the track whenever there were IRS tickets for 10%, and the guys would have to go stand over his shoulder because if they didn't, he'd bet all their money right there. That's how bad he was. And I had a guy come up to me at a seminar one time and say, listen, I got to feed my daughter. I got $5 left. Please give me your best bet. And I told him, dude, get the hell out of here and go feed your daughter at McDonald's. You're not supposed to be betting your last $5. It is addictive and it is dangerous, but it's also, and I've never made any bones about that. And if you've listened to this show over time, you know that. And I've had people all the time, hey, I want to start gambling. What do you think I should do? And I don't start. If you do, we're trying to give you some good advice. And there are guys who are addicted. The best poker player I ever knew would go and play the cash games at Hollywood Park, walk out of there with 30, 40 grand and lose every single dime the next day betting college basketball. And I would tell him, he'd be out at the track just blowing money. And he's like, oh, I just need a $5,000 stake for tonight and I'll be fine.
Fred, you're telling the story of me playing blackjack in Vegas literally every time we go to Vegas.
Yeah. And so there is, but I mean, there's recreation, and you have to know with anything in life, man, you got to know when it's turning dangerous. And yeah, but that's one of those, you're taking something totally out of context and then, you know, basically trying to insult what people do for a living when they, you know, when they do it right and do it well. And yeah, so no, I'm not going to calm down. Just if you want to have that discussion about addiction, that's a different thing. Happy to have it with you. But, you know, basically saying, oh, well, you're just justifying by calling it an investment. I'm sorry, but that's just, no, let's just go to break before I start dropping words I can't say on air.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about CBDMD.com. They are a trusted leader in the CBD industry. Maybe you're afraid of marijuana because full-blown marijuana is illegal, you know, in the state of Texas because it's got THC in it, and it could get you fired at your job, and that'd be horrible. But guess what? CBDMD, completely THC-free products. They're third-party tested for safety, purity, and effectiveness, and your body will thank you. There's so many benefits to CBD. I can't even get into them all, but pain relief, it's anxiety relief. There's tons of different things, help you sleep. And the CBDMD has something for all of those things. They've got oil tinctures, gummies, sleep products, topical creams, even CBD for your pets. I like the CBD Freeze. It's a roll-on menthol blend. Fantastic pain relief after I've worked out hard on my knee or my shoulder. And they're dedicated to providing you the best natural support you need to feel your best. That's what they want to do. They want to make you feel your best. And they want to do it for cheaper. CBDMD.com offering 20% off when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com. Promo code ESPN975 to save 20% at CBDMD.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN975. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Yep, and we're back on The Blitz. Somebody says, why doesn't anyone calm down when you tell them to calm down? Yeah, it's the worst thing you can tell somebody.
People don't like being told to calm down.
No. This is a pet peeve of mine, and it has been for a long time. And let's define things now. I don't consider going and sitting in a slot machine for 10 hours investing or blackjack or roulette. Right. That's not investing. Let's clarify that. And when AJ plays blackjack in Vegas, he's not investing. He's having fun. That's when I play roulette in Vegas, I'm having fun. I'm not expecting to win. But when it comes to things like sports betting and poker, if you're serious about it, yes, there's research, there's work, and you basically are doing the same thing you are in the stock market. You're making the best possible guess based on the information you have. And the reason I tell people not to get into it is, I mean, I don't think it's the same for everybody, but for me, I mean, I lost my ass for years before I got anywhere near to where I was doing well. And it came because I had an accountant wife who started charting what I was betting and telling me what I was good at and what I wasn't. And then, you know, basically I started doing things based on my success rate and suddenly started having winning years. But I mean, I've seen it destroy people. I have. I've had friends who, you know, I've been around gambling for a long time, and I've been around the horse track, sports betting, poker for decades now. In fact, played poker in 1994 in one of the suites at Sam Houston with Amarillo Slim, who was a complete crook, by the way. And you know, so I've seen it, and I've seen what it does to people, and I'm always warning people about things like that. You know, I've seen them run their credit cards up at the racetrack. It's just silly. And you know, the reality is, in this particular thing, I feel like sports betting has become, for years, poker was played in dark rooms with a bunch of scumbags. I don't know if you saw that Doyle Brunson story he tweeted out about a guy getting shot and they all ran out the back so they wouldn't have to talk to the cops.
No.
Yeah, that's what it was forever. Players
Doyle
were
Brunson
scumbags.
Has Twitter?
Yeah, he does.
That's weird.
I think Jerry Bow retweeted it is why I saw it, because I don't follow him. But and sports betting was the same thing. You had to go to these shady bookies and all this stuff. And I think over the years now it's become mainstream. It's become common. And people are approaching it like investments. And I think RJ's had a lot to do with that. RJ and the guys at Pregame. And to me, just put a little respect on their name. and realize I think that's just an old way of thinking. Poker was the same way until Chris Moneymaker. Then it became cool.
There are you gotta admit though, Fred, there are a lot of guys who are not investing when they gamble sports betting. They're just they want that action.
And that's fine. That's fine. And that's why I'm differentiating between gambling and guys who are actually doing it to make a living. And I mean, I think that, and as I was saying earlier, there's no reason you can't do both. But yeah, if you're just playing for fun, then no, it's not an investment. But there are a lot of guys who do it for a living and do it really well. And it is no different than the stock market. And yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. The stock market guy always looks down on, you know, professional gambler guy. And it doesn't help that you have these idiots like Vegas Dave running around getting attention.
Right.
But for every Vegas Dave, there's a Fezzik, there's guys who are, you know, who study like hell, and that's what they do. And, you know, I've been around both. But I think the implication is what really irritated me, because yeah, I'm very cognizant of the damage this kind of stuff can do. It's just like anything else. It's just like alcohol or drugs or sex. I mean, you have to know limits, and some people don't. Some people can't handle that. And I damn sure don't encourage anybody who's not gambling to start, especially, you know, unless you're just going to do it for fun and it's just disposable income. And if it's just money you were going to spend if you were going out to the movies, which you're not doing right now, that's okay. I mean, but that's a different thing, in my opinion.
Or if you were going to spend that money on drugs or hookers.
Yeah hookers
say,
and blow.
I'm not going to have a hooker or cocaine this month. I'm going to take that money and bet it on a KBO game. NC Dinos minus 154. Okay, cool. But don't do that. Don't do it with your rent money.
No. I mean, that's the thing. It always has to be disposable income and do it for fun. And 99% of the guys that are listening to the show do it for fun. And that's fine. Just make sure it doesn't get out of hand, because that's it's extremely possible. And you have to be cognizant of that. But, you know, but there's also a lot of guys who do this for a living now and do it very well. And, you know, I just want a little respect on their names. That's all. Cause yeah, I respect those guys. And, you know, I feel like the world has changed and it's more respectable, but you know, Mott says, I think gambling's similar to the stock market. I have to admit, I've never heard of a dude getting addicted to Wall Street. I have. I had a friend got crazy with those apps and lost a bunch of money and borrowed money to keep trying to invest and kept losing and wound up getting divorced. So
he was a winner in the end.
Well, no, his wife divorced him because he went from being a guy who had a really nice income to a guy who was 400 grand in debt. Because he was day trading, and you can't tell me that's any different than the guy going to the window and betting the money. It is the same. He also said a close friend of mine back in 2015 asked me about buying guns because their card room spot got robbed. Yeah, that was going on a lot too back in the day. I can't remember who it was, but there was a guy who was having a big cash game at his house that got robbed by a bunch of dudes with Uzis. And it was
Uzis at me.
Scary times.
Yeah, I don't like
so.
That.
No, but I'd like to think it's a different world, and maybe it's just because I'm so close to it that, you know, I feel like it's much more. I don't feel like we're having to hide in the corners anymore, but you know, because I had to do that for a long time. Underground poker rooms. Oh, you're a scumbag because you're playing in an underground poker room. Can't tell you how many times I heard that kind of stuff.
Well, I think you're a scumbag, but not for that reason.
No, I'm very much a scumbag. I make no bones about it.
But not because of where you play poker.
No, and it's not because of gambling. I mean, no. Yeah, but to your point, there's a Timo says it's literally the plot of Wolf of Wall Street. Good point. Well, yeah, think about how many of those guys wound up losing their ass and, you know, insider trading and everything else. But doesn't, Wall Street's respectable, even though they've cost us a hell of a lot more than gambling has. How's that?
I think that's probably fair. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you. And that other stuff, too.
What is the rubber? That is the rubber. You rub it to rubber. Rub it to rubber.
And then you go, yo.
Yo.
So like, right. Wait, I think he said, what's that? Hold on. Now, what is he trying to say about society?
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, catching up on some texts. Texter had nice things to say about the sequel, which glad you enjoyed it, man. Thanks for your kind words. It's, not the final version that's going to be out next year, but pretty close. So, some other nice stuff people are saying about it. So we'll skip over that. But
too much nice stuff, Fred. It's gross.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, people say you guys call yourself scumbags, but whenever there's something going on, you're always helping somehow. It's like, well, trying to break even, man. Just trying to make up.
That's the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this story, AJ, but this is another thing where I'm willing to sacrifice myself for the people.
Okay.
A group of NASA scientists working on an experiment in Antarctica have detected evidence of a parallel universe where the rules of physics are the opposite of our own.
The opposite? What's that mean exactly?
Yes. Well, basically, it implies
the upside down?
Well, sort of. It implies that. Well, I'm not going to get into the whole science of it because it'll bore the crap out of you and it doesn't make any sense.
Thank you.
But there's particles that are actually traveling backward in time, which they say suggests evidence of a parallel universe.
Okay.
It involves a bunch of particles. So if you want to read the whole thing, go to Barstool.
It's Donnie Darko, isn't it?
Well, interestingly enough, the writer talks about this, that there have been all kinds of conspiracy theories about Antarctica because the Nazis were obsessed with it during World War II, and they had a large plot of land there. And in 1946, the U.S., Britain, and Australia invaded Antarctica after the Nazis were defeated, and it turned out to be a total failure, resulting in multiple casualties. Conspiracy theorists to this day claim the operation went horribly wrong thanks to UFOs and an enemy that was not human.
Well, I mean, couldn't it just be that Nazis aren't that smart?
Well, I mean, they had a good run.
But they also really believed that, like, there were Nazis who believed that Jewish people had tails and horns. They also believed that they were going to win a war with the United States of America. I mean, they made some poor choices over the. They're not that smart.
Oh, nobody's saying they are, but they were helped by something, and the admiral who led the attack wrote in his journal he believed there was an entrance to a whole other world in Antarctica, but was ordered by the U.S. military to remain silent. He passed away in 1957, but before that he said, the universe is not dead, therefore there is an intelligence there, and it is all-pervading. At least one purpose, possibly the major purpose of that intelligence, is the achievement of universal harmony. The human race, then, is not alone in the universe. Though I am cut off from human beings, I am not alone.
All right.
So I'm willing. I'll tell you what. If there really is a parallel universe and you need someone to explore it, I am willing to do this for $1 million for my family in case I die. But I'm more than happy to go check this out.
You said you would get the Corona for like $20.
No, I said $4,000.
Oh, okay.
But I would be willing to explore a parallel universe for $1 million.
Okay.
So he says, yeah, you're basically describing Stranger Things. Are you sure this is legit news? NASA scientists. Whenever it starts with NASA scientists, I believe it. When NASA scientists are making a beer, I believe it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
So, yeah. But, no, I don't know. I mean, I really, the problem is I don't understand the physics that they're talking about. So I can't say for sure if it's believable. Because they're talking about particles going one way or another. And I don't know how particles basically going backwards in time equals the potential for a parallel universe. But if there is a parallel universe, dude, I'm in. I'd love to check it out. Could it be the upside down and I wind up being dead and unhappy? Yeah.
It could.
But it could be kind of cool.
Maybe they're cooler people. I say, what if they say half a mil?
That's probably good enough. my kids got money. They'll be fine. Yeah.
They'll be all okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But. Yeah, St. Patrick said, Fred, you know you're lying to yourself. You'd pay $1 million to explore it. Probably so. I'd pay to do that.
Lamont says, technically the Nazis didn't lose to America. They lost to the Russians. Japan got the smoke. That's true. We had some wins, though, over the Nazis.
Boy, it's funny how the Europeans don't like to hear how they won the war because of America.
Oh yeah, they don't want to talk about that.
No, because we were fighting them for years. Yeah, you were getting your ass kicked for years.
That's why every country you go to in Europe, there's like, oh well, here's the rubble where this used to be. I mean, listen, sometimes you need to be bailed out. You're welcome. Thank an American and pour him a beer. It's not that big of a deal.
Exactly. You know, I don't know about you, but that scene in Saving Private Ryan, that was a lot of Americans dying there.
Yep. Hey, a little bad Corona news.
Uh-oh.
Guess who's got it? Pat Dye, former Auburn coach.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Man.
Yeah.
And he's not a young man. 80 years old. He's got kidney problems. So it's rough shape for him. So, yeah, hopefully Pat's able to pull out of it. But, yeah, it's not good when you're 80 and you're catching the Rona.
Yeah, and you've got other problems. That's the Rona's wheelhouse. So hopefully he'll pull through that. Engineer Rob says this means there's another universe out there where Bill O'Brien isn't the coach of the Texans and AJ is not secretly a fan of WWE.
I'm not a fan of WWE. I was a fan of WWF. I like Andre the Giant, which I think it was recently his birthday or something, because I saw a lot of tweets on the internet about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So.
I'm also a fan of the WWE video game.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I don't like to watch the actual wrestling, but I like to play the Royal Rumble on that game and throw my kids out of the ring.
All right, let's take a break. Only one segment left to go here.
That's
on a
it.
Thursday. Jeez, flying by again. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And, man, I could do a whole show on World War II stuff because I've always been fascinated by it. I've read every possible book about World War II. The one interesting thing is what really doomed the Germans was invading Russia as the U.S. was coming into the war, because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't handle both of those. The scary part was if they just stayed out of Russia, they'd already developed jets at the end of the war. They were close to nukes. If they could have just extended things a little bit, then the world would look a lot different, man. But it's fascinating. All right, let's do some Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do it. Before we get all the way into Hoffman on Hollywood, I want to talk to Tyler. Tyler, on Instagram, do you follow any beer influencers?
A couple, yeah.
So UpRocks did a story today talking about beer influencers, which some of them are writers, some are brewers, some are sommeliers, some are podcasters.
Some are thoughts.
That's what most of them seem to be. And my guess is most of these girls probably don't care about beer that much. They probably have a boyfriend who's really into beer, and he's like, hey, I bet if I put my hot girlfriend on the Instagram in a bikini top drinking beer, people will start sending me beers. And they did a list on UpRocks of beer follower or beer influencers you should be following. There's a few dudes. It's almost all hot chicks. Are the ones that you follow all hot chicks?
Yeah. I think there's only one guy. He's the don't drink beers guy.
Is there anything you gain from it other than seeing the hot chick, though?
No.
Do you ever even really pay attention to what beer she's drinking?
So there's one, Hoppy Floppy, where she basically just puts it all out there. A very, minimal censorship. And she's actually had posts removed by Instagram before for being too revealing.
Ooh, so she's risque.
Yeah, but she actually has pretty good beers. She drinks all the top rated stuff, Monkish, Tired Hands, all that stuff. But I, for whatever reason, she was live with some other brewer last night, and I cannot get the sound of her voice out of my head. It is the most annoying. Jersey, Philly accent.
Yeah, so she needs to be seen, not heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I was just curious. It made me wonder if you were into beer influencers. I don't believe in it. I'm not letting someone on Instagram influence my beer drinking. Fred, you have said before that the movie God's Own Country is one of your favorites. That's a movie about a Yorkshire sheep farmer and a Romanian migrant worker who fall into a gay romantic relationship. And the director of that film, which you said earlier was one of your favorites, now has less gay sex if you're watching in America. The edited version was uploaded to Prime Video Direct by the provider, and there is less gay sex in this movie that is presumably all about gay sex. Lee said on Twitter that U.S. distributor Samuel Goldwyn Films butchered his film without consultation to get more revenue, and he was not informed of the cuts and cautioned other filmmakers against working with the distributor. So how do you feel about that, about foreign-made movies being edited before they're put on American television?
Well, first off, this is hashtag fake news because I've never heard of it. And I'm not familiar with the director.
Oh, okay.
But I would think if you're a distributor,
were into a movie about a Romanian migrant worker having gay sex. What was that?
No, that was not the same one.
Oh, okay.
That was Gay Dracula. Get it straight.
Gotcha.
But I understand the artiste in them, but I also understand that if you're a distributor and you're trying to make money, you've got to know your audience. And I feel like, and I think sex scenes, you know, my take on sex scenes, I think most of them are useless. So, you know, don't really have a problem with it.
Did you guys watch the Mr. Rogers movie?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. What did you give thumbs up to that, Fred?
I thought it was okay. It's not. It's worth your time, but it's not something I'd be like, oh, you got to watch it.
Isn't it crazy? Like, if Mr. Rogers is really as nice of a person as he's made out to be in that movie, isn't that pretty crazy?
Yeah, he seemed too good to be true. That much is true. Although, everything I've ever read about the guy, it seems like that was the case.
Okay. Well, you know who doesn't like him all that much? Ice Cube. Celebrating the 30th anniversary of America's Most Wanted, Ice Cube went on Instagram and had a live listening party. And during the event, during the evening, he told a story about the song A Gangsta's Fairy Tale from the album, which sampled the theme song from Mr. Rogers' show. And Ice Cube says, it's a trip because of this song, Mr. Rogers sued us. He was mad because we had the Mr. Rogers theme at the beginning. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood and all that. He sued us and was getting 5 cents a record till we took that part off. That's just a fun fact.
That seems surprising.
But, well, listen, he's got to get paid. 5 cents an album, that's pretty good.
That just seems out of character from everything else I've ever read about the guy.
Same here. You know? But good for him. Got to get that paper. Got to keep the neighborhood. Got to keep hustling. And finally, Joe Exotic back in the news. His legal team has touched down in D.C. There is a bus that is says, President Trump, please pardon Joe Exotic. And they have made it all the way to D.C. The legal team hoping that they can get the president's ear and basically have their elevator pitch down. On why Joe Exotic should be pardoned, and basically they're planning on trying to get at least a couple minutes with the president to make the case for him. I believe Joe Exotic should not be pardoned. I tend to believe that Joe Exotic is not a good guy, but and also I mean, listen, there's too much pardoning going on anyway with this COVID stuff. We don't need to let Joe Exotic out, especially in a time when we're getting diseases supposedly from animals. I don't want Joe Exotic out. But they plan on getting the president's ear.
Yeah, I feel like he was guilty. Now, the Senate seemed extreme to me. But, yeah, don't be pardoning him. But you need to go after that bitch Carol Baskin.
That bitch Carol Baskin should be in jail with him. I agree there.
Yeah.
And that, Fred, is Hoffman on Hollywood.
You know, speaking of that, that Offspring song that they covered of his that I love so much, YouTube made them take it off their official page. They had to, I don't know if it was the original band that bitched about it or Carol Baskin or what, but they made them take it down and they had to put it back up. It had over 1 million views at one point. And so I was watching it the other day and it had 23,000 and I read about it. So, yep, they made them take it down. So, all right, that'll wrap it up. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Tyler, as always. Guess what I did? 100% without muting today. How
That's
about
true.
That?
Good for you.
I said I was gonna do it yesterday. I had one mistake. Today, nothing. Stick around. It's going to be Patrick Creighton and Jerry Bowe at 7 o'clock with Late Hits tonight. That should be fun. Till tomorrow, stay Rona-free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.